This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is there meaning in the seeing and sawing on the stock market of late? I'm David Brancaccio, arguably the single most powerful economic policy official, will tell a House subcommittee on the pandemic crisis today that he thinks the current spike in prices is temporary. Jerome Powell, chair of the Federal Reserve, will say the economy has shown, quote, sustained improvement, according to his pre-prepared remarks. Someone else is in the camp of people who think inflation right now is acute, not chronic, is Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy for the Wells Fargo Investment Institute.
The question some people, especially those old enough to remember the 70s, think, oh, here we go again. Inflation is going to be rising consistently and in a sustained way for the next decade, maybe. We're not in that camp. We don't think this is the 70s again.
What about constraints on getting the work done, on the availability of people to take these jobs? I mean, some of that is people rethinking their work lives and so forth. That's not something where you flip a switch and everybody just piles into to the labor market.
Yeah, that's right. There's several factors going on here. People rethinking their work lives. Do they want to go and work in close proximity to others? I think that'll pass for a lot of people over time. Another is simply childcare. With the schools having been closed, it was difficult to find childcare. We think that will probably ease as schools reopen in the fall. And the third, of course, is the federal extended unemployment benefits. That rolls off in September, and we think as that happens, you'll start to see more people come into the workforce. You know, there's probably 6 or 7 million people who left the job market between February of last year and today. So as those wages go up, I think you'll see a lot of those 6 to 7 million people come back into the workforce, and that should temper some of that wage growth.
Paul Christopher at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute, thank you. After shaking off its dizziness of the week before and going up 1.8% yesterday, let's see the Dow as we do the numbers. It is down 78.3%. The S&P is down 0.1%. The NASDAQ is down by a scant 9 points at the moment, actually 6 points. The key 10-year interest rate just moved above 1.5%, still super low. But back to the theme, summer, which just began, right, has run smack into this shortage of labor. In Philadelphia, 40% of the swimming pools won't be open because they can't find the lifeguards. At a much larger scale, American Airlines canceled hundreds of flights this week, stranding travelers, with the airline blaming staffing shortages. In Hawaii, visitors are now coming in at pre-pandemic levels, 30,000 people a day. Businesses welcome the demand but are struggling to keep up, Marketplace's Caroline Champlin reports.
Just months ago, Hawaiian beaches were deserted, says University of Hawaii hospitality professor Jerry Agrusa.
And then a wave came. So it's a wave of tourists right now.
That's partly due to vaccinations and international travel restrictions. Hawaii is less of a hassle for Americans than, say, Paris, Agrusa says. But now there's a labor crisis. Unemployment in Hawaii soared during the pandemic. Yet these days, restaurants and hotels are scrambling to rehire.
What happened is a lot of folks left the industry. A lot of people left the island.
By which he means Oahu. There, near Waikiki Beach, is a cafe called Moke's Bread and Breakfast. Owner Keola Warren says customers are lining up, and he's scouring Craigslist.
I ran ads for 2 months straight and got 2 applicants, and neither were qualified for any of the positions they applied for.
Warren has scaled back the menu and hours. He's not expecting the rush to cool off this season. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
The Dow's 3.4% drop over the course of last week rattled some investors used to the heads-I-win, tails-I-win character of the stock market of this era. It was the biggest weekly drop since last fall, but then yesterday the Dow in one day erased half of the losses. Marketplace's Nova Safo is with us now. What can we say about this?
Well, a number of analysts, David, are saying that, hey, maybe the market overreacted last week. I love how one of them put it to the Wall Street Journal, saying the market is in a very fragile emotional state.
Who's not? And yeah. Why is that? After all, fundamentally, not much has changed out there this week, last week.
Right. We still have an economy on the upswing. Yes, there is inflation heating up faster than expected, but we've known that for a while. But you know, inflation is the big bad word on Wall Street, right? Because the resulting higher interest rates could send more people towards bonds. And hey, markets last week kind of freaked out after the Fed held 2 days of policy meetings and signaled afterwards that yes, maybe, possibly, it might raise rates a bit earlier than previously thought, 2023 instead of 2024. Well, that apparently counts as terrible news these days, David.
We're going to hear more from Fed officials today, Nova. Watch out for more seeing and sawing, maybe?
Perhaps. Also, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is testifying in Congress this afternoon, right? And two other Fed officials speaking today, too. We know from Powell's written testimony that what he's going to say is a lot of what we've already heard before. Spiking inflation is likely temporary. The economy is mending. So perhaps going back to these old standards, the oldies but goodies, will help soothe our fragile and emotional markets, David.
All right. We'll see. Nova Safo, thank you. The House Judiciary Committee is set to consider a package of antitrust bills tomorrow. Also a critic of big technology companies with a 21st century view of antitrust law was sworn in last week as chair of the Federal Trade Commission. Is Washington fixin' to break up the tech giants? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
If you're an antitrust lawyer with an interest in tech, this is your moment.
It's the most exciting period since I've been practicing over the last 30 years.
Alicia Batts is a partner at the law firm Faegre Drinker. She's not representing any firms that are targeted by the antitrust forces in Washington, so she can watch from the sidelines. And what a show it is. Republicans accuse the big tech platforms of censoring conservatives. Democrats say big tech firms have abused their market dominance.
A lot of people on Capitol Hill are upset with big tech. So I think when they've had so many hearings, it would surprise me if something didn't come out of the hearings.
The House Judiciary Committee will vote on about a half dozen antitrust bills prohibiting tech giants like Facebook and Google from acquiring competitors or forcing them to sell businesses. One bill would increase the budgets of antitrust enforcers like the Federal Trade Commission. Its new chair, Lina Khan, is a tech critic who does not pull punches. And Harvard Law Professor Jonathan Zittrain says Khan's tough line on tech has something unusual these days, bipartisan support.
There is an openness to at least visiting these questions and looking for remedies.
One of those remedies? Breaking up the big tech companies. Arun Sundararajan teaches entrepreneurship at New York University. He says that idea is driven more by politics than economics.
There doesn't seem to be a tremendous amount of logic to the consumer benefits that will come from breaking up big tech companies, or what exactly a broken up set of big tech companies would look like.
Tech lobbyists are already making those arguments as they prepare to battle against antitrust legislation, the potential of increased regulation, or more investigations or lawsuits from a newly energized Federal Trade Commission. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The founder of the dating service Bumble is acknowledging her people have been through a lot recently, a new stock listing, lots of growth during a pandemic year. Whitney Wolf Heard told all the company's employees to take a paid week off this month. I can copy the boss on this item if you like. Consider it done. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.